Look, if you had one raid to seize raw materials and supplies for your settlement, would you light that monastery on fire? Or would you just let it slip? His oars are sweaty, knees weak, axe is heavy, his vomit on his armor already, ale embarrassed. Is he nervous? Vikingers calm and ready to crack skulls. Do it nice and stealthy, have Sunin fly, tag him with Odin's eye, so we can take them by complete surprise. He's choking, wow, I shot him with my arrow, how? England's time is up, it's over, kablow! Step off the long boat, and ope, there goes Norway, and ope, my clan's broken, I hope, my crate's dope, but I hope. Oh my god, I can't concentrate. Look at this guy, he's staring me down. What, you have a problem, buddy? You never heard of Viking rap before? It's called flighting, okay? And you're going to learn all about it in this episode. There are spoilers ahead for Assassin's Creed Valhalla, but otherwise, I hope you keep an open mind and open ear, okay? Okay, this is Controller Freak.
Welcome back to Controller Freak. It is I, your host, Julia, back with my brews, Owen and Aaron. Skull, gentlemen.
Skull!
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 Skull! Skull! Skull! Skull! Skull! Great. All right. And that's the episode.
Oh.
Wrap that up very nicely.
That just made me really want to have a big horn of ale that I'm just downing and like mini barfing during. If I don't get it just right, just really enjoying it, but then being like,
real talk, that is actually me drinking beer, and I felt very seen by that. Let's dive into this because we have a hell of a lot to say. We are going to be talking about the latest, the greatest Assassin's Creed Valhalla. And you hear the bros doing various sound effects from the game, I think. Oh, and that was a horn, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
Well, the opening track to this, usually there's like a solid riff that we can really just take a bite out of and get into. Our master slicer Owen like lays in some nice like lush chords from it. But for this one, it starts out pretty ambient, so we're kind of left to do kind of like 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th century, like Vikinger tribal, just sort of aura.
That's in your portfolio, though. You have that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Again, we're just really good at soundscapes, thanks to all of our respective theater training.
Right.
Thanks to our in-depth improv backgrounds. Yeah.
Say yes. Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. I was rabid to play this game. I was so excited. When did you guys first start hearing me talk about it? Go.
That's a good question. I feel like, because we have been obsessed, Owen and I have been obsessed with another hotly anticipated game that was going to come out and has come out now, Cyberpunk. And I feel like whenever we'd talk about that, you would come back and be like, yeah, but Valhalla, though. What about AC Valhalla?
That's true.
But I feel like the answer is for as long as this generation of games has been announced, announced, you've been like chomping at the bit for it.
Chomping at the bit.
That's not to say, though, that you weren't right to be excited about this game.
Mm-hmm.
Because you've always been...
I am an AC stan.
Yeah, as long as I've... And even before I knew that you had played any Assassin's Creeds, I think you just... You'd watch maybe Let's Plays, is that right?
Mm-hmm.
And you felt like, these are my games. Can you tell me... Can you, like, explain why you felt that for your entire life as a gamer?
They're just everything that you want in a game, just put all in one place for you. And we're going to talk about why this is partially not true in this installment, but overall, they're getting closer and closer to the type of game that I know they can be. But if stealth is your jam, and it is, I try to make stealth a thing even when the game really does not want me to make stealth a thing. You will not be punished for it in Assassin's Creed. You know, like, you are handed the reins of stealth and they're like, go be good at it. You know, like they're getting to be more open world, like narrative. Well, they've always had good, like the story has always been something that they put time into. Like there's a narrative. I think that the world building is generally pretty exciting. Like the places it takes you is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And so every time you get a new installment, you're not going to some new hellscape like Far Cry, like in the middle of a dumpster, an island somewhere. Like
Dumpster Island.
I don't know. I've never played that one, but like.
You didn't play Far Cry Dumpster?
I didn't play Far Cry Dumpster. No.
Where, yeah, that like, was where,
I assume that's a Far Cry. Is that not a Far Cry?
You're at like a bachelor party, you black out, you wake up, and there's like a dude with a machete over you being like, welcome to the dumpster. He like cuts off your balls.
Yeah. Right. That's exactly what I'm referencing.
Yeah.
I've seen that. Let's play. But no, this is right. This is like a beautiful, cool, curated, culturally interesting experience every time you dip in. And I like my stealth running around games to be mixed with a little bit of my Sid Meier's Civilization. And that is what you get for your money here, I think.
But didn't we establish that you generally do these games with like a big two-handed sledgehammer and you just like beat the shit out of everyone? I didn't think you actually went stealth so much.
No. Stealth is just when they already don't see you. And that's great. And then if they see you, you pull out the big hammer and you just beat them. But just beat them.
Yeah, both
work.
Because the games that I've seen Julia play from this like generation of AC, which is Origins, and then Odyssey, which we did a separate episode about, covering all of the different adventures of Mistios, and how she killed all the sharks. but for both of those games, you're absolutely right, Owen, that Julia's playstyle was to equip the biggest fucking hammer she could and like creep until somebody like happened to glance over and see the Mistios with the huge hammer, and then she would just like start fucking wailing
boom
on him.
Boom.
You didn't just run in there, you know, you crept in.
Right.
I crept in.
And then
if you see me, you've signed your death certificate.
Right.
And I'm hammering you to death.
In
this game, it was the axe of my ancestors, and I regret nothing. But this is in many ways a very exciting new installment that I personally was very cool with. I think there's a lot to like. There are some things I didn't like, spoiler alert.
Sure.
You know?
Whoa.
I know.
It's okay. I don't know.
Are there things you guys didn't like?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. Sure.
But I did find a lot to really love.
Mm-hmm.
And this series has sort of, Odyssey was a huge step, and this is a big step. They're winning me over in terms of like, it's still not quite there where like I anticipate the release of a new Assassin's Creed like I would another open world RPG.
Another No Man's Sky.
Right. Right. Well, in terms of anticipation, you can't beat it.
They crank these games out, and one comes out like every year or every other year. And like,
thank God. Thank God.
Well, I see, but I feel like if they would take their time in between games, I would get more excited about them because I've just played so many of these games over the years, these Assassin's Creed. I'm sorry to be this guy to make this argument because this is a super annoying argument when people do this. But the game is called Assassin's Creed, and like you're not that much of an assassin anymore. Like, in the old games, it used to be about like you had a target and you would stalk them and you would do these different missions in a way in order to get closer to your target.
Right.
Whereas this one, it's like every mission just sort of becomes a raid, or at least
Just Vikings.
Like occasionally there's one guy you have to take out, but like usually it involves like them coming out of their castle and being like, beat down the door. And like, the first 6 or 7 times you do a raid and blow that horn and like see your men charging in, like that's fun. And I was into it, but this game is just so long. And I just don't think it could sustain itself for like, however many hours you do this game for, like 50, 60 hours.
You got some of that Viking ennui, that like famous Viking ennui where like 35.
What am I doing with my life?
35-year-old, 40-year-old Viking just be like, it's just raid, raid, raid.
Yeah. But here's the other thing too.
Mead.
I think my other issue, I don't know about you guys, but I just don't think I find Vikings all that interesting.
Oh, Dranger.
It's just let's raid and pillage, and it's just, I don't know.
You find them obvious?
I missed the last game, Odyssey, with the Greek mythology world. I just find that stuff a lot more interesting. And like,
Owen, I don't disagree with you that I keep saying to Aaron, this is what I keep saying, Aaron, please wipe that look off your face. I keep saying Odyssey was a triumph. Origins was a masterpiece. Valhalla is okay. In terms of like the interesting subject matter, totally agree with you. It's not as compelling as the last two they've done, Ancient Egypt and Greece. But maybe just because those were super cool and very dense, this world didn't feel. But also it's because, I don't know, did anybody have a problem getting over the Vikings as sort of historically bad guys to play this game? Like, it does sort of paint all of this with like a very like pro Viking brush of like, yeah, you know, you should burn that village to the ground because they're in your way. And you know what? That's fine. That's what Odin wants us to do. Okay.
I don't agree. I am fucking shocked.
Wow.
That I am the only true son of Ragnar here. And I honestly, I'm a little pissed off that you guys have been masquerading as Drangers when in fact you're milk drinkers.
Okay. Take it easy, wolf kissed.
Yeah. Don't act like a Jomsviking.
I'm serious though, that like, I loved Odyssey. I thought, I mean, in no small part due to Cassandra, but I thought like, I think every game they get a little, and we can talk about the finer points of like the gameplay, but I think every game they get a little better at doing this sort of Witcher-esque third person open world RPG like thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they do.
I hesitate to call it a formula. I think there are formulaic elements to it. And that's, I think, part of what maybe turns us off is that we're like, we kind of go, okay, like this is what you do. It's the Assassin's Creed formula. But I do think that they put a lot of like uniqueness and love into this, and it shows. But as much as I loved AC Odyssey, I didn't play Origins.
Right.
I'm like, I was like, as we covered in that episode, I'm like peripherally aware of that historical period. And like, I know the myth of that period, and I know generally what's happening in that. Like, I'm by no means an expert, as a listen to that episode will show.
None of us are,
right, yeah. Or Hades. But this historical period, which is like pre-Hastings England, I truly had no fucking idea about. And even though I know from playing other Assassin's Creeds that like every Assassin's Creed has like, you go and you meet fucking Dante and he's like, oh,
what?
Please give me some more ink for my scroll. Like you always meet historical figures and like do little errands for them.
As an Italian, should I be extremely offended by that?
Yeah, you go ahead.
Wow.
I'm just saying that like every installment has that shit, right? Or like, yeah. Or like go back in time and like fucking, one of the founders needs you to brew fucking a keg for him or something. Like, yeah. It's like, it's always in there.
Uh-huh.
But playing this game, I totally lost that sense of like, these are real people. I was like, okay, this is just a fun Viking story.
Let's talk about our main character before we start to talk about who else is in the game. It should be important to note that you can play as a male or female, and you get to be Ivor either way. And I played as a female. What did you guys do?
I did female too.
You did female.
Oh, I was the only male. I did male.
Wow. Yeah. All right. So you're going to have to give us the like manly perspective.
I will be happy to.
For what?
How? I don't even know, Aaron. How does male Eivor sound?
I'm actually thrilled to say that because in Odyssey, no shade to any actor, but I did prefer the Cassandra. I liked her. I thought she had a lot of pathos, mm-hmm. and like the performance was really wonderful and charming.
Mm-hmm.
I really loved the male Eivor in this, because he is seeing the like character art. I think you could be forgiven for being like, he's going to be a typical like I am ready. Like, I am a Vikinger. And he's just not. Like, he gives convincing, intimidating readings when he needs to. But there's a side quest early on where you can like have sex with a random lady in Danish lands. It's because you spend a little time in the North's like wilds before you get to England.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And she, before you like sleep together and it's this throwaway thing, she's like, you're kind of delicate, aren't you? And you're kind of take offense and you're like, delicate? No, I'm not delicate. And she's like, no, 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 it's not like, I don't mean offense, like, but you kind of are. You have a grace and like a sort of it's a delicacy. And it's true. You can see it in the way he reads and in the motion. I'm assuming it was motion capture. He sort of has an effeteness to him that's like really cool.
Wow.
And makes his he's kind of wily and a little Loki-esque.
Let's hear some of his voice, please.
Oh, God. His voice is, I don't know if I can do it justice. It's sort of like, you will have to become king if you truly believe you can lead this land. And it's, he takes his time, but it's like mysterious, but it's kind of wry too. Yeah, I really enjoy it.
Be plain about it, Stiffspear. You want to lay with me, is that it?
How was Lady Ave?
She's kind of foine, actually, Lady.
Yeah, she's kind of foine. Kind of foine.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. She looks like a beefy Aloy from Horizon Zero Dawn.
I kept calling her Aloy in my head. Thank you, Owen. Yes. Yes, they are very similar. Kindred spirits, those two.
I actually think it might have been intentional. Like, your mom straight up looks like Aloy. Because you have a flashback to your mom.
Oh, yeah.
Your mom's straight. She's got the Aloy haircut.
I've been enjoying the female Eivor performance. Hmm. The character, though, you know, I miss Cassandra a little bit from the last game because Eivor, there's not a whole lot to her. And like, I have trouble sort of finding where she's coming from during this journey. Cause in Odyssey with Cassandra, she was like looking for her mom a lot of the time. Like she's got these family ties that's like driving her. And it was very easy to sort of understand why she's doing the things that she does. This game, it's sort of like, I'm up for whatever. And I will just...
Right.
Form some alliances and fight some guys and...
Let me and my raiders take the village. Save your strength and join us for the fight to come.
Hmm. I'm totally with you, Owen. I'm with you. I feel like the closest we get to like an MO is that fortune teller being like, okay, explain your vision to me, because Eivor early on has this vision and it's revealed. She's very close with her adopted brother. They took her in after her parents died in this like very awful way. Mm-hmm. And she and her adopted brother Sigurd are very close. And she has a vision of him missing his right arm. And I think Valska or Valksa?
Valka.
Right. Yeah, I guess the closest thing you have to like a driving objective is like, you're going to betray your brother is what Valka tells you.
Right, because you see this vision and you describe it to her and she's like, oh, I know what that means. It means that you will...
Betray Sigurd.
I think doesn't she say like you will achieve greatness, but you will betray your brother Sigurd?
Yes.
Your parents were brutally murdered in this rival clan attack. Mm-hmm. And you sort of play through that as the beginning of the game.
Yeah, and you and Sigurd are in this clan, the Raven Clan.
Mm-hmm. After we see that attack from your childhood, we jump forward to present day, and you've been raised as Sigurd's brother, basically, and Sigurd's dad is the king of your clan.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I missed you, my brother.
Yeah, you missed me.
Yeah,
once or twice, I hear.
But that's the relationship. There is like you and Sigurd. He's this like sort of. Like favorite son who's gone on this prodigal journey to foreign lands and has just returned. And you are his brother basically for all intents and purposes. And so to hear this from Volka, you reject it immediately. You're like, no, that's fucking impossible. I would never do that.
In a land where everything is scary, which this feels like it would have been, an ally means a great deal. And so that felt really clever to me, that the framing device is like the person you think you can trust with your life, you are going to have reason not to and like turn on. I was like, ooh, gross. No. Yeah.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but my Eivor definitely betrayed Sigurd in my game because she fucked Sigurd's wife, Randvi.
She did.
Randvi. Yeah. So like, I guess the prophecy fulfilled.
Yeah, that's one way to fulfill it.
It is.
Yeah.
And it was so unexpected.
That's the, you fuck my wife?
Yeah, that's pretty raging bull.
Fuck my wife, Eivor?
Fuck my wife?
What?
I'm not going to dignify that with the response.
Oh! Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and it's so unexpected, too, because you kill the rival clan, and you kill the guy that murdered your dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, the king, there's so many kings in this.
Yes, so Norse politics comes into play here, and in Harald, I think it's Harold.
Yeah, Harold, right? Yeah.
He is making a claim to, like, unite all of the different clans. Mm-hmm. And so to be a part of that, you have to submit to him. And Eivor and Sigurd don't want to.
Right.
No.
This part lost me because I was like, that seems like a great idea. Well, like,
no, Sigurd was born to be the king. You know, he was born right. to inherit a kingdom. And his father, true, yeah. without consulting him,
made a pact to join Harald.
Right. To basically bend the knee and become a petty count under this new ruler, right. which Sigurd was not on board with.
I have cast aside all dreams of kingship, father. A much greater end lies in wait for me.
He's just gone around the world making his name and, like, learning all these cool assassin tricks.
Wait for it.
which is where we get a little bit of that rich, creamy lore coming into it, right?
Assassin's cream just all over your face.
That ass cream joke. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you guys call it ass cream. Why do you do that?
Why wouldn't you call it that?
Okay, that's fair. Yeah. And on the road, is that where he meets Basim?
Yes.
Okay. And he comes back with him in tow.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's where you, I mean, up until then, we can assume that Eivor has just been a pretty regular Viking, right? A cool Viking fated to be very important as, like, a Norse warrior, but, like, doesn't have any of the cool stabby tricks that you want with an Assassin's Creed game.
Right.
And so quickly, his new friends from abroad. Sorry.
Yeah. So you decide that you don't want to be ruled by Harald.
No.
And you hop in your long ship. You sail towards England, basically, mm-hmm. right? Like, yep. you get out of Norway, and now you're in this, like, huge open world. Which... And then you go and you set up your home camp, your settlement.
Mm-hmm.
And you can open all kinds of things, like a fishing tent. And you've got a table with a... map of Europe, I guess, set up, and you are tasked to go out to different parts of the map and create alliances with people all over the map.
Yeah.
And this is going to be the game for, like, the majority of your time, is going out, doing these little mini stories, meeting all kinds of interesting characters, and taking back parts of the map for your clan, right? Mm-hmm. And
that's the thing that, like, blew me away historically, was, like, that was an actual campaign. That it seems like such a video game thing of, like, Sigurd takes you and his wife Randvi, who, like, might have the hots for you, maybe not, maybe yes, and like a bunch of the sort of the clansmen who are loyal to you, and says, like, we're gonna strike out on our own and make our destiny in England, which seems like such a loose, like, video gamey goal. I feel like it's sort of what you guys were saying, right? That, like, Cassandra has this deep driving family need to do this this quest. And I think the protagonist in Origins did too, right?
Mm-hmm.
That seems so, like, amorphous, the idea of just, like, we're going to strike out into virgin land and, like, conquer it. But that's like, literally, like, after a century of, like, little raids on the English coast, the Dane Vikings just came in as an army and just did exactly what you do in this game. I'm sure the game may have taken a few liberties.
No, absolutely. How dare you?
Not sure there was quite as much upgrading.
Rude.
But I'm not sure you could exchange Ubisoft points to ride a wolf.
Oh, no, you could.
You definitely could.
Back in 910 or whatever. Well, you could.
If you didn't pre-order the wolf, then yeah.
Right. If you played enough Far Cry 5, then you could just plug that in, and yeah. there you go.
I mean, that's part of another ancient Norse prophecy about pre-ordering the wolf.
About the Ubisoft points. Yeah. But my point is that like, crazy, just, like, we're here and we're going to fucking spread, and we're going to do whatever it takes to, like, we're going to marry into families here. Some we're just going to straight up depose if we don't like them. We're going to join up with other Danes who, like, came here on their own, and, like, maybe they're our friends or maybe they're assholes, and we're going to fight with them. Like,
yeah.
That sort of crazy chaos of it is all kind of historical.
Art imitates life.
And
baby.
I was like, wow, that's so cool that, like, that even under this crazy AC bullshit, there's like a root there. I don't think it is bullshit.
It's not bullshit. But yes, you're right. This did happen. And where do you think video games came from, Aaron? They came from real life. So this makes sense.
Well, what I was trying to get to before was that in your home with this big map, Sigurd, your bro in your clan, his wife Randvi has been, like, put in charge of just, like, hanging out in the map room and kind of just sort of staring at the map and overseeing.
Putting the knife in different places.
Right. And in the middle of your big journey, you have the option to be like, Ron V, you look like you could use a night out. Let's go do something. And it seems pretty friendly and platonic. So I did not expect the night to end with like you guys making out like up on a tower. From that point on, anytime you visit her in the map room, you can like make out with her or take her to bed again.
Damn.
Oh, yeah. Shit, man.
Sigurd's your brother.
But do not think for a moment that I have forgotten you and our wonderful day.
Nor would I wish you to.
Good. Then we see eye to eye.
And heart to heart.
And I jumped ahead because I didn't finish the game, but I got pretty far. But I did watch some later cutscenes. And there's a part where you talk to Sigurd. It's like the end of the game. You're like fighting the main villain and you're like taking a breather. And Sigurd's like, I know about you and Ron V.
Oh, that's
but rad. I'm too tired to do anything about that right now. So we're just gonna let it go. And Eivor's like, oh yeah,
yeah, that did happen. That did happen.
Yeah.
I wonder.
She definitely doesn't apologize, but they just move on.
Also like, I don't know. I'm doing shit she doesn't like. Like I slit some dude's throat. And she was like, we could have used him for information. I was like,
oh yeah, I did that too.
Spoke poorly against me.
Yeah, no. People have to pay the price for that shit. No, yeah, Ron V hit on me too. We got to the tower. We made it up there. And I thought about it.
You turned her down?
Yeah, I turned her down.
Oh, wow. That surprises me. You of all people, Julia.
I know. You know it's very out of character for Julia.
Well, but, you know, your Eivor does your Eivor only like the men?
She's open to her options, but I think that was a genuine, like, we are better as friends. Ron V is just, doesn't scratch that itch for me.
I just,
okay, like, you weren't attractive. You didn't find her attractive, did you? You put her hard in the friend zone.
I friend zoned her hard. She was like, oh, I'm sorry. I thought since we came up on this tower, and I was like, no. Like, good night.
No, we are just going on a date. Goodbye.
Yeah. No.
It's one of those Viking no sex dates. That's cool. And see, I do like that you can have sex with Randy because they plant the seed really early on that she's not happy with Sigurd.
Yeah, that's right.
Because
they do.
After he comes back from like being out for like 2 years, he left his wife behind during this, by the way. So she's just
rude.
been chilling.
Yeah.
And he comes back and at the feast, you can go up to Randy and be like, are you excited? Like you'll have a warm bed tonight. And she'll be like, yeah, it'll be warm with his farts. Like he'll be too drunk. And it's like kind of play for laughs, but it's also like, it's also not.
I remember this now. Yeah.
You're like, sort of like, oh, like, so that sucks.
Sigurd's kind of a douchebag. Like the whole time he like thinks he's a god incarnate. I mean, later you find out actually he is a god reincarnated.
Yeah, he
but,
is.
But he thinks he is.
Damn it.
It goes to his head.
Shame on him. And I will also just admit, also shame on me. I was like, great, I'm going to romance Sigurd. That's the way this narrative ends. And but then he started to get really cocky with the god stuff. And I was like, gross, turn off, like, whatever. All right. I thought it was going to be hot because like it's we shouldn't, but we will kind of thing.
Right. We're step siblings kind of like
now. I
like,
just don't want to. So it's not even hot weird anymore. Whatever. So, yeah, that was disappointing.
Weird.
Yeah.
I had sex with the Huntress Petra, no strings attached.
Wow. Yeah. After you smoked acid with her or something.
Yeah, we ate funky mushrooms and like ran around looking for kids in the woods. And then like she was like, I really like you. And then we had sex. Wow, okay. And she'll never talk to her again. I'm pretty sure there's no other quest with that.
Yeah. So let's talk about the mysteries and stuff you just stumble upon in this world. Like,
please.
Separate of the main story quests, if you look at your map, there are all these like silver dots all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
And they're called mysteries in this game. And you can just go up to any of these dots and you'll have some sort of encounter. It might be funny. It might be weird. It might be like, you got to kill this like demon from mythology real quick.
Right.
Or like, it's basically this game's like version of the side quests. Like in the last game, you would just get bombarded with side quests and you'd have like a bajillion quests in your journal, sort of like what Cyberpunk is now later.
Right. Yes.
But in this, instead of side quests, it's literally like these random encounters. The game doesn't really give you directions on what to do in these encounters. You know, they don't give you like waypoints to like take care of this like baker's problem, you know. And it's interesting. It was a very weird, sort of different, interesting thing, and I enjoyed that because you often don't know what you're going to find when you get to these things, right? Like you get a lot of memorable encounters you have with these things.
How did it compare for you with the old system, Owen?
I liked it because it felt like less of a commitment when you go to one of these things. A lot of random tasks you get asked to do involve like burning things down.
Yes, truth. Yes.
Yeah, like I remember you like run to a monk that wants you to burn his house down. And like you meet this couple that like they want to like fuck and pretend that like there's a raid happening. And it'll like...
It's the only way they can get off.
The woman says like, you must come and pretend to raid. That will make my water flow. Yeah, what kinds of shit did you guys run into that was interesting?
Well, I mean, there's the farting lady. There's a lady in a basement who's just like, eggs. And there's like a shitload of vipers around her, and she just wants viper eggs. And you have to get her like 12 viper eggs.
Oh, it's so annoying because she makes you do it like three at a time.
Right.
It's like, I require 3 viper eggs. Then you bring her those. She's like, I require 3 more. And then you finally get her like 12 fucking viper eggs. You have to kill like all these vipers and like go looking for them.
Right.
And then she just rips a huge fart.
He just farts and you get like...
Why? Is the point?
She's just eating too many viper eggs. And so she rips ass.
Yes.
You know, you say, what is the point, Julia? And I have to say, part of me, when I experienced this, it made me think, is this a metaphor for this whole game? Putting into all this effort just for a big wet fart.
Yeah, or what? Well,
a metaphor for Ubisoft, if you will.
Oh, come on, you guys.
Wow, Aaron is.
And look, I agree that they struggle with parts of this formula still, even though they've been doing it for years now. The open world RPG formula, there's still something that doesn't click sometimes with them. The places kind of look the same sometimes. It's hard to get a sense of like authentic place. The world maybe doesn't feel as lived in as some other games. But I really like the way they're experimenting with, like you were saying, Owen, that like instead of the laundry lists of side quests, which I have mixed feelings about as an RPG like guy. Like I love seeing that laundry list. Part of me loves that to be like, wow, like so much gameplay to come. But a part of me is like, by the time I finish one of these quests, I'm not going to remember how it started. It's not going to have any emotional impact because I'm not going to care.
The free-flowingness is interesting, and I agree, Owen, there are like fun things about feeling like they're sort of whimsical and like they happen almost in real time a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
I lose track, and like I think I need a list to feel productive because you guys know I'm not good at catching side quests. Anyway,
sure.
So being able to check them off and be like, I did all of this and wow, instead of just like, I wandered into these things. I don't know. Maybe I'm still working through some gamer shame on that. Maybe I didn't get any good ones. I got everything I stumbled on was like a girl's brother had been turned into a fish and I had to like fish for him until I caught the right fish. Right. I was like, fuck
you.
That's
hilarious. I love that.
There was one that was like this famous archer, but he like decided that he was good at archery because he never bathed. And like his family like just like screamed at me about how smelly he was for like 3 minutes until I had to like do a Rube Goldberg machine and like dump water on him somehow. Yeah. And he's like, no. And I was like, what's the point of this? Like, why did I do that? Like,
oh yeah. I did a really annoying one today where there's just a guy that's like stuck in a cabin and he's like blocked by all these like cabinets. He's like, I am stuck. Can you please move the cabinets? But don't break any vases because there's vases inexplicably scattered all over the floor. So you have to pick up the vases and like bring them outside before you can move the cabinets so he can escape. And then he's like, you did not break any vases. Thank you,
Avar. Well done. Right. And then that's
a colossal waste of time.
That's when the title card, Assassin's Creed, Valhalla.
I do actually want to say that the title card hit me like a ton of bricks, sucker punched me, was actually very moving, I thought, because the line right before you get that is one of your like boat crew members, you're on your way to start the England raid and he's like, victory or Valhalla. And then it's like Assassin's Creed Valhalla. Well, it's almost like setting up.
Oh, you will fail.
You're not going to get victory.
You will all die.
And I don't often get emotional at Assassin's Creed. That's a lie. Yes, I do. I cry all the time at Assassin's Creed. I was getting a little misty-eyed by that. I was like, wow. Because, right? I mean, that is the Viking narrative throughout time and space, is just this like binary of like, we win or we fail gloriously. There is no middle ground. And I thought that was just, mwah, well done. Now, here's something I really, really am dying to talk about, because this was like the best. And like, Ubisoft, listen to me, hear me when I say this, do this, keep doing this. But like, having your settlement and upgrading your houses and shit, dope. Priceless, wonderful, amazing. What did we think about it? There's the right answer, which is what I just said.
Meh.
Why are you
so- really?
Yeah. Why are you so enthusiastic?
Because it's grounding in a way that these games haven't been, but need to be, because the richer we get with like character and story and like that arc, I think the more we need to understand, we need to see a tangible goal and a tangible marker of progress. And Ravensthorpe, your hamlet that you establish, is a really good way to do that. And it also makes all those raids you do seem important, for lack of a better word, justified maybe, because you need those supplies to upgrade your fishing tent, like Owen said. Or
yeah, but you don't need to upgrade your fishing tent. Like, you don't really need to do any of this shit.
No. Oh, you absolutely have. Did you guys not upgrade your fishing tent?
No. No, I didn't need
fishing
to.
Fishing seems really stupid. Because they're like, what's the fishing? Like, you get fish and the little kid will like give you, what will he give you? He'll give
the
you
fishing
special,
is
turn
awesome.
Them in for like runes or something?
Yeah.
Like, who cares?
It's fucking sick. And each of them has a story, because it's like, oh, Master Skjaldborn wants this carp to feed his horse. He insists that it's good medicine, blah, blah, blah. So you have to like make a special horse potion for this guy.
You like that?
Phenomenal. The fishing was superb.
I appreciate having a home base and like somewhere to go hang out, but this one didn't, like, I could barely remember what all the different like vendors were even there for. And like, there's so many things, you like so many raids you got to go on.
Gunnar, the blacksmith.
Yeah.
I feel like Gunnar, he's super weird.
Yeah, he's super weird, kind of
like,
grumpy.
I like Gunnar, well, because he's grumpy, but then he also, like, early on when you talk to Gunnar, he's like, I am so sad, like, my Sheila, or, like, whatever, some woman's name, my Sheila has left me, and he's, he's, like, broken, and you're like, oh, I'm so sorry, like, how long were you two together? And he's like, 3 weeks.
Three glorious weeks.
He's, like, a weirdo. I kind of like that.
The tattoo artist dies. Just dies in his sleep.
Oh.
Oh, I didn't even...
Guys, did you not... Did this not happen
to you? I didn't even build the tattoo. No, that seemed completely unimportant to, like, set up the tattoo tent.
Because, like, I already
you
had...
You didn't upgrade the tattoo shop?
No, because I already had all of the customization options in the first village. And so, and I looked at the tattoos and I was like, I don't really care about these tattoos.
Well, he does hair, too.
I saw the hairstyles, too, and I was like, I got the hair that I need. Thanks.
So he dies in his sleep?
You guys didn't know this?
He like has a heart attack?
I don't know about how sad this moment is.
That's fucked up.
I don't remember his name. I should.
That's really terrible.
Very broken up.
You come back to your village one day and everybody is distraught. And you're like, what's wrong? And they're like, Torbjorn has died.
Torbjorn,
ready to make a tattoo. Ready to tattoo.
Oh, no. I can't feel my left arm.
Exactly. It's okay. This happens every so often.
Just gotta.
How did he die? Why did he die?
We don't know. It's like he wasn't murdered, and the game alludes to this just might be like a 900 AD equivalent of like a heart attack or something in the middle of the night. And people are distraught.
I miss Sven every day. And yet he is here with me. His hook got infused in every design.
I will say, I think I agree with Owen that, like, as far as bases go, I wasn't... Because the reason I like a base is the upgrades are cool, and I like going to the base to, like, get cool stuff. But really, the reason I like a base is so that I can go back and have, like, all of my buddies check in with me and be like, this is how I feel about our quest, or, like, this is what... I hate you because you did this, or, like... You know, it's that kind of, like classic Dragon Age shit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or, like, your camp in Red Dead 2.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. Or, where you, like, you check in with everyone, and you, like, you need that... It's a rest, but it's also, like, a gauge of, like, how the party's doing.
Yeah.
And that didn't... I don't think that had a... apart from like.
But you are part of a party. That's what they're trying to establish here, is like you're supposed to care about this Viking clan as an entity.
And I have to say, I didn't really. I cared about a lot of relationships in this game. And I thought a lot of the main story quests were like really engaging and fun. And the characters that you meet in them are really.
Who would you care about? Chaowulf? Chaowbear?
I've only done two big like kingdom arcs so far, but I thought both of them were really effective in terms of like the Danes you meet who are like kind of, it's hard to gauge. Sometimes they're like aggressive assholes, but they also like have big hearts. But they're also constantly like assessing whether you're a softie or not. Like, it's cool.
How far did you guys get onto the map? How many allies did you meet?
I was just about to ally with my fifth section, London. I got to London.
I'm on London too.
The one I did before that was interesting because that ends with Sigurd, your bro, being taken away because he believes he's like a god reincarnated. Yep. And other people kind of start to believe that too.
Ooh, heresy.
And they take him away. Yeah.
You have a traitor in your midst, Falke.
Falke.
Who's masquerading as like someone who's helping you. And then it turns out she's this Jesus freak and she goes nuts.
And you're a heretic, right?
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's really interesting. That was really cool. And also felt very dangerous and scary.
Yeah. And at that point, I wanted to go home to Ronvi and be like, hey, good news. Like, you just got a whole lot more available. We can fuck anywhere.
I don't have to cover your mouth anymore. Yeah. Wow. That's fucked up, dude.
Not bad, Wolfkiss. I wager you couldn't drink more than me if you tried.
Should we talk about the noblest pursuit any Vikinger can engage in?
Yep.
Which is fighting.
AKA rap battles.
Rap battles.
I remember before I even played this game, Julia was texting me because you had it first, Julia, and you were like, guys, I'm so good at rap battles. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
Replaying Parappa? Yeah. But no, it's true. You in this game about like killing people with an axe and like you and your clan raiding monasteries for raw materials, there is occasionally an opportunity for you to have a battle of the wits and the words and the rhymes with a co-combatant.
And it's not child's play. It's hard. It's you have to match tempo, theme, and the appropriateness. So like the insult they give you has to match the one you give back. It has to be the same caliber. Like someone can't be like, you smell bad. And you're like, I'll kill you. And I'll kill everyone you care about. Like, because that's not a good flight.
If you'll permit me, I would love to demonstrate.
Please.
Please, sir.
Okay. A typical flighting encounter would be like, Vikings, who gives a fuck? Aaron likes them because he's a cuck. You know, I don't mean that, Aaron. I'm giving an example.
But no, you've isolated a very important part of flighting, which is that you must demolish your foe's ego and reduce them to wordlessness, which you have. I was thinking of a rhyme for beta furiously, but I couldn't come up with one, and you've won the flight.
Do you have anything you'd like to respond?
No, I was trying to come up with a rhyme for beta, but there is none.
My favorite thing in the flighting, though, is like sometimes somebody will have a hype man next to them.
Yes.
Like, oh! Like, after it's so ridiculous.
Who, like, immediately turns on them when you do better. Who's just like, oh, he got you, bro. There was a super weird one. Did you guys do this one where, like Eeyore, like, is challenged by a woman on behalf of, like, some dude the faceless?
Yep. Yep.
And it was like, yep. I will face this faceless. And you go into this like empty house and there's like a dude like outside the window who's like fighting in at you, but he like sucks. He like, it doesn't make any sense. And Eivor's just eventually like, you are not a skilled fighter. And then he like runs away.
That was so weird.
So weird. What was the point of that?
Really enjoyed that though. Mm-hmm. And also like how like there's one main story quest where like you're trying to learn an Anglo-Saxon like would-be king. You're trying to teach him how to not be such a bitch because he'll like never survive. And then there's like a lot of it's like you fighting him and being like, get harder. But there's one like extended sequence where you teach him how to fight well. and you have to go through like 9 different like mandatory dialogue choices where Eivor's just like, now talk about his mother. Talk about he's as ugly as a rat. Talk about that. And the guy will yeah. like, you're so ugly, you look like, and Eivor will be like, he looks like poo. Like,
if I tell you you're foolish and stupid and dull,
then I tell you you've nothing inside of your skull.
Ah, a good response. I called you stupid and you turned it around.
I would be remiss if I didn't mention Asgard. And then we should also just talk about Layla quickly because she's in this game too, I guess. But Aaron, did you ever get to the realm of the gods, Asgard?
No. Okay. The only thing I saw in Asgard was Julia got like extremely like fucking angry because I guess at some point in Asgard you have to like adjust to like 15 mirrors so that the light bounces, which was also a puzzle in Odyssey, I think, was like adjusting mirrors so that like the light can like hit a thing in a very specific way.
Yeah.
Oh, that bullshit. Yeah.
I don't have a physics degree, so Aaron had to do it for me because he played a lot of Zelda.
Physics degree.
I don't have a fucking PhD in city planning, so I don't know how to do that one. You're gonna have to do that.
That's most of what goes into a good city is just can the mirrors shoot the light in the right place.
Well, fucking, I don't know how. I guess I wouldn't be a good city planner now, would I?
Right. So you end up going to Asgard because, well, you learn later that Eivor is actually the reincarnation of Odin.
Cool.
I guess we should talk about the present day stuff.
Take us there, Owen. What's happening meanwhile in the present day?
Right. Layla Hassan, who you might remember from the last game, former Abstergo employee Layla Hassan, she like gets an anonymous tip to like go to Boston because like that's where Eivor's grave is.
Right.
And she still got the staff of Hermes that she got in the last game.
Yes. Right? And okay, did I miss something? Or I'm pretty sure in a DLC to Odyssey, the staff made her like bash a lady's brains out.
Yeah.
Right?
I did read something about that, but I'm not totally sure what happened.
And that's why like every so often she'll be like, oh, my head. Like she'll look at the staff and like people will be like, are you okay? Like, did you take your meds? It's like,
doesn't she kill Victoria, the other woman who works there?
She like murdered her.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
the
staff made her, but it was like in a DLC, I think.
Well, you're expected to have done all of the work, Aaron.
Do your homework.
Yeah.
Right. So Layla's got a lot going on, apparently. Yeah, you're like going into Eivor's memories to help once again stave off an apocalypse, because now apparently from the last game, the like Earth's magnetic fields have like started going crazy and like destroying satellites and like, we got to stop it. And did we talk about Bassem already? I forget.
Oh, only a little. Tell us.
Yeah. Bassem, the guy that Sigurd met when he was on the road. Bassem is like actually Loki reincarnated and he's trying to kill Odin because Odin like imprisoned Loki's son.
Holy shit.
And Loki / Bassem has this like hatched this crazy plot to manipulate Layla Hassan to go into the memories. And I think because the game ends, Eivor fights Bassem and like impales him on the computer, like on this big computer that they find. And then Layla finds the computer and like sets Bassem free and he comes back to life.
You said computer. Do you mean longship?
The end of the game is they've been brought to this cave that has this weird assassins like alien technology computer.
Oh.
Yeah. And this is like all Bassem's plot to come back to life and then go into the real world and like bring back his children, I think.
Okay.
I won't go anywhere, my friends. Your animus is in good hands.
How much do you know?
My dear, we invented such things long, long before you did. I'll figure it out.
I want to ask, and I'm not trying to be a dick. When you say that these people are gods, like Odin or Loki. Mm-hmm. Because of what I know about the Assassin's Creed universe, I know that sometimes God equals ancient alien. I found this out, and again, the best stuff is in Layla Hassan's email drafts, where she talks about the aliens that like run everything and like created humans or like are gods. Are you saying that Eivor is one of those aliens?
Now you sound like Layla.
The previous guy also dealt with the aliens. You said, Owen, and you said in the old Assassin's Creed, he used to be Desmond, and the aliens used to come down and be like, nice job, Desmond.
Yeah. You've done now that. Desmond, in this game, Desmond has become this like omnipotent being that they call like the reader. But it's like, but it's Nolan North's voice. Like it's supposed to be. It's clearly supposed to be
Desmond. Yeah, it's Nolan North.
Yeah, they infer. I think the game infers that it's Desmond because you even Layla mentions Desmond's name to this thing, and he's like, Desmond. Oh, like the name means something. Basically, it ends with Layla being stuck in this like computer simulation, stuck in the computer, and Basim, the bad guy, has gotten out, and you can actually like play as him at the very end, and like. I guess this is what they're setting up for the next game. It's like
more Basim.
More Basim.
More Basim. Wow.
What?
That's like some 4D chess stuff there that I don't quite follow.
Oh, it's really, really hard to follow.
It's too bad because like what the supernatural shit that I've seen so far is actually really effective because it's on the periphery.
Yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. like when you so there's a version in this game of the Assassin's Creed Odyssey thing of like, there is a cult and there's a cult of like enemy agents that you have to like stalk and kill. Mm-hmm. And when you kill one of those guys in this game, there's a super cool little cut. I thought it was super cool.
Yeah.
Little cutscene mm-hmm. where you suddenly sort of like warp to like the spirit world and you, and you're hunting them and they're talking about their life doing something emblematic of like who they are, which like a lot of times you don't really know unless you've like dug pretty deep into the codex, but they give a little thing of like why they joined this organization or like the way that they think they can cheat death. And you're sort of stalking them with Odin at your side.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then you get up there and you give them like a quick, like you won't escape death. You take this pendant that they have, I assume the pendant of the Templars or whatever, and you snatch them and they sort of disappear into mist. But it's this very mysterious, like cool personal thing between you that I felt like gave this like otherwise pretty like kind of weightless mechanic some like nice weight. Mm-hmm. And it was also super mysterious. Like, what is this weird hunting that you're doing with this god? Like, so that's that. I'm disappointed that they don't stick the landing. It sounds like.
Is there a landing? It begs the question. What's the end?
I don't know. It's just such alien. A mushy mush of plot soup. I don't know. It's,
I feel like Owen's told us the end game and I didn't feel like I understood.
I mean, to be fair, I did not explain it very well.
No,
like, no, you did. I think this is not on you. This is just very strange.
Because I think that's another thing about these games is that like they're doing such like on some level they operate as standalone games, right? Well, this is the story of Cassandra or this is the story of Eivor, but they're also doing this like Marvel Cinematic Universe shit where they're like trying to tie in the whole series into like a big, and like that stuff always fails for me, not just because I don't play every title, but because like I'm not connected to the characters who are the actors in that battle, you know, like I don't really care about them.
What was you said there was a COVID reference that you found? I did not find this.
Thank you, my friend, for reminding me. Yes. In one of Layla Hassan's emails, she's writing to her brother and he's like, where are you? You've been ghosting me. Do you have COVID or something? And it's just so deliberate and strange. And I had to read it several times to be like, did I see that? Is that COVID-19 in this video game? Why did you do that?
And I feel like Layla respond, what is COVID-19? Like, I feel like they have no idea what's actually happening in the real world.
Yeah, no, it was alarming.
It was very
like,
strange.
Just make something up. Like, you already posit a world where, like, electrostatic interference from, like, the mantle of the Earth or something is, like, causing worldwide. Like, why do we also need COVID to be like...
Which is it? Which reality is it? Yeah, exactly.
No, very strange.
Right, that would be like... you almost expect them to like cut to like have Layla watching TV and have like them fully animate like lame duck Trump being like the satellites they're staying in the air they're not coming down and Layla being like he's a fucking liar like why do we need that dose of reality? I'm playing this Viking game for the Vikings. Yeah, I feel disappointed though because I in myself because I like this game.
Yeah.
And I feel like the discussion has been more, it's been more negative by me than I feel like it should be. I really enjoy this game. I'm having almost a better time than Odyssey. I can't really.
Oh, that's not true.
I feel like it is. And I can't tell you why.
I mean, the sailing is better. Do you mean that?
The
sailing is more about moving around and less about fighting other people on boats, because that's really boring. But
that's true. They took out the boat combat, which
yeah, the boat combat is stupid.
Don't miss that at all.
That's true.
Though it is a pain. I mean, most of the boat sailing that you'll do in this game is on rivers, and it is a pain in the ass if you get going the wrong way on one of those.
Yeah, the K turn is not the
yeah, doing a 3-point turn at your longship is not the most fun.
Yeah. Yeah, Eivor's like long ship Ed, or like getting his learner's permit for the long ship was like not. He had to give that a couple tries. The instructor kept being like, "No, you ding that rock.
No, get your oar.
So to England, glory and destiny.
To England."
So what are we hoping for the next Assassin's Creed game? Ideally, where would it be set? If you could go anywhere and assassinate people quietly and while doing side quests and having romance options and building a village and gathering supplies, where would it be?
Maybe Fire Festival.
That's the next Far Cry, Owen. It's Giancarlo Esposito at Fire Festival.
Being like, do it. Do it.
May I help you? I feel like I always say this, but I would really go for an Assassin's Creed that takes place in a like secure bunker during the 40s or 50s.
Whoa.
Where no firearms are allowed in. So you have to do, that's where the dagger shit comes in. But like there's some, it's like a full city underground, maybe. Like maybe it's an alternate history where the Cold War goes like hot or something. Some kind of like 1950s thing where you're like a secret agent or you're deep cover or something. That would be exciting to me.
That sounds like a different game though. That's not really in the universe of AC. Plus that sounds like it would make me claustrophobic.
Okay, wow. So hard rejection of that premise from Julia. I was going to say, that sounds really interesting, Aaron.
This game without the fucking aliens. This game without the E2. I think the E2 should, you should do a DLC for this, not to be prescriptive, because I don't have all the answers. Who does, except for the E2? But what if the E2 all, you went back in time, maybe Layla goes way back in time, and she convinces the E2 to like leave. They all beam to a different planet, and now we're just doing history stories.
Love it.
Which are also fun.
Now that I will sign up for.
And maybe, okay, and maybe if we have to have Layla, because it's still Assassin's Creed,
sure.
We have to have like somebody in the modern times. Maybe it's just like Layla's learning life lessons.
There you go.
Like,
easy.
Like she's having a family issue, or like her fiance has cold feet.
Oh no.
And she has to like learn how to get through that. And she takes the strength of like
the past.
Robin Hood, a member of Robin Hood's merry men.
I would play the shit out of
Oh my
Robin
God, Hood. That would actually be the shit.
That's such a good, now we're talking, Aaron. Now we're cooking with gas.
Right. But see, that's the thing is we want Robin Hood, but we don't want Robin Hood to be an ancient alien Robin Hood.
No, I do not.
You don't want Robin Hood to plug in his bow and like.
No, we want regular like Errol Flynn Robin Hood.
Yes, Errol Flynn.
Like Disney ass fox ass shit.
Oh, yeah. Or that fine fox from
fine
Disney.
Sexy fox. That's right. We want a furry Assassin's Creed, okay? And if you don't give it to us, we're going to riot.
Have you guys seen when you turn on the game, there's like some sort of winter Christmas event happening in the game?
Yes, yes, yes.
I was maybe going to give it a shot, but then I saw it was like, collect Yule tokens. I'm like, no, nah, I'm out. Forget it.
I went to my base and see, the problem for me was I hadn't invested in the, like the beer hut or like the grain or like the, it's like a granary or something. And Eivor like immediately was like, for Christmas, I need to build the beer. And like, I can't have Christmas without grain. And so like, I needed to do like several more raids in order to make like the Yuletide festival. But yeah, immediately you're approached by, it's like snowing in Ravensthorpe, mm-hmm. your home village.
Perfect.
And some dude, do you know who this dude is, Owen, who like approaches you immediately?
It's one of your dudes in the settlement, right?
I didn't immediately put I was like, hey,
Jay, I want to say Nathan.
Hey, I want to say, I'm just going to go with Dranger. Hey, Dranger, what's up? What's up, Dranger? One of your bros comes up to you and he's like, Eivor, it is Yule time. And then he's like, I made these, and this is where Owen's, I made these handcrafted tokens. You can buy special things from me.
And you're like, okay, Jerry, I see what this
right,
is.
Yeah. I see where this is going.
All right.
I wish I could just knife you right in the knee.
Yeah.
My village would be good to go because we have a fully upgraded granary and place to drink beer. So I don't know. So that's why you don't sleep on the fucking village upgrades.
Yeah, so you'd be one of those fucking people with like the crazy elaborate Christmas lights displays on your lawn and shit. And
totally. You take the girl out of Jersey, am I right? Oh. Oh my God, Assassin's Creed, suburban New Jersey. Come on.
Oh, hell yeah. Oh yeah,
it's fucking Sopranos.
It's like 1990. It's like middle class, working just class, like, New Jersey neighbor.
Now I'm picturing just like Tony Soprano with the like Ezio like cloak.
Hot!
Like the white
That's
cloak.
So hot, I can't deal with it.
It's not hot, it's really
Ubisoft,
funny.
Ubisoft, if you're listening, give us a Sopranos, Assassin's Creed, and do the right thing.
And yeah, and so we can make it an AC game. It's Anthony Junior. And he is the one in the Animus going back into Tone's body.
I'm going to cry. Stop it.
Anthony Jr., get out of the Animus.
Right, exactly. Right, and, right. Right, and Karma's pestering you the entire time because you've been playing too much Animus. It's very meta.
I think we solved it.
I don't think we did.
I think we did a great job. How do we feel?
Aaron is still bummed out.
Oh, Aaron.
No, I'm not. I'm angry. And I'm feeling my wit begin to shine.
Oh, all right. Are we getting a comeback round of flighting from you, Fiona? Yeah.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Julia, you claim to like games by Ubisoft, but what did you expect? Some kind of Lara Croft
game? Oh!
Wait, are we going to treat that like it was good?
I am.
We're not going to do that, are we?
Well, if
we're not doing that this year.
I know it stings from your end, Julia. I know.
I grant that it wasn't good, but it is the only flight on the table. You must respond.
Yeah, come on, Miss Rap Battle.
Oh, man. So the equivalent would be to make a joke about like a game that you claim to like that you actually don't like.
Yeah.
Or something about
my gamer credit or my looks, or since Owen insulted my masculinity earlier, you could harp on that.
Just call him a cuck.
Yeah, just you could bring it back,
Aaron,
to cuck. Yeah.
The last game you waited for was No Man's Sky, a game where you sit around, jerk off, and fly.
Oh,
pretty good.
Whoa!
Pretty good. Pretty good.
Oh my God, so good.
We are going to physically fight when this is over.
I think we've all flighted each other well and truly bald.
I'm not sure if all our charisma levels went up or down there, but
mine definitely went down.
Yours went down. Yeah.
Yeah.
Skull, skull,
skull, skull, skull, skull, skull.